back with you again today. I'd like to give a special thanks to Frank for filling in while I was away. I know he did an excellent job, as he always does, and I appreciate his willingness to stand up and preach the Word of God. So, Frank, thank you so much. I appreciate it. But it is good to be back. Today we're going to be talking about getting a spiritual checkup. How many of y'all like to go to the doctor and get a checkup? I don't see anybody jumping up for that. When I go to the doctor to get a checkup, I usually hear things like this. Your diet needs to change. You need to get more exercise. Y'all hear those kind of things? I don't like hearing those things either, but there's things that we need to hear sometimes that help us change our lifestyle and the way we're going about doing things. And if we began the year this year, we were talking about renewal in some various areas in our church family and in our lives as individuals. And this morning we're going to do a little checkup. We're just past the halfway mark of the year, so we need to take a look at how we're doing this year and maybe some things that we need to get to work on a little more and step up a little bit more in some areas and allow God to use us in some different kind of ways. So we're gonna go through this morning, and it's gonna move fairly swiftly through all of this because there's a lot to look at. But we're gonna begin in Mark chapter 12 today, beginning in verse 35. Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 35, and the scripture says, "And Jesus began to say, as he taught in the temple, 'How is it that the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? David himself said in the Holy Spirit, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies beneath your feet. David himself calls him Lord, so in what sense is he his son?' And the large crowd enjoyed listening to him. In his teaching he was saying, 'Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like respectful greetings in the marketplaces and chief seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets, who devour widows' houses and for appearance's sake offer long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation.' And he sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury. And many rich people were putting in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which amount to a cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, 'Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury, for they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on.'" Now, the disciples were going to their point as they were listening to Jesus, telling them that they had to reevaluate the importance of things. They had to reevaluate what was important in their spiritual walk and in their walk with Jesus. As they walked with Jesus, they continued to learn more, and they continued to have to make changes about who they were as men. And we know they didn't get it all right for a long time. But they all wound up laying down their lives for Jesus, except for Judas. And as we begin to look at the changes that took place, they began to listen. They began to learn. They went from spending time arguing about who was the greatest in the eyes of Jesus and in the eyes of God to serving and giving and being the men of God that they were supposed to be. But here Jesus is laying some things out to them about some things that are going on. Everybody looked at the scribes and thought, "Oh, what great men. Oh, what wonderful men these are." And would talk about them. And these scribes liked to wear the right clothes that made them stand apart from everybody else. They liked to say the right words that made them sound like they knew more than everybody else. They liked to take the best seats in places so that they could be seen above everybody else. And Jesus was saying, their hearts are not right. Their lives are not right. And they're going to be condemned for that. There's going to be a price that is paid. The disciples had to learn. They had to step back. They had to take a look at what was going on. And so do we. We need to take that step back. We need to take that step back in our lives and take a look at who we are as men and women of God. Because sometimes we like to pat ourselves on the back and about the jobs that we're doing and the things that we're doing and the sacrifices that we're making. And we spend so much time patting ourselves on the back that God doesn't receive the glory for it. And He needs to. So this morning, as we go through this time together, I'm going to ask you in these five areas, if you'll take a good look at your heart. Look at your heart. We have the tendency of thinking, yeah, if they would do that, and if they would do that, and if so-and-so would do this, and we forget to look at our own lives, our own hearts, our own attitudes, about how we go about things and the way things are done, because all of this is very important. And we're going to begin this morning by talking about fellowship. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. The writer writes these words. Let us hold fast the confession of hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. How are you doing with your fellowship with the body of Christ, the church? God created us to need each other to accomplish all that we can for Jesus. Now, we tend to think, I can do things by myself. I can get by in this world by myself. Well, my Bible says that's not quite the case for the Christian. That we need each other. If we're going to be all we can for Jesus, we need each other. We need fellowship with one another. We need time with each other. We need to be built up by each other as we go through this life. Too many Christians are trying to live life by themselves, their own way, and accomplishing very little for the kingdom of God. Folks, the Bible says we need each other. And He tells us in this scripture to do this. Stimulate one another. Stimulate one another. That word stimulate means to encourage interest or activity in a person. Now, we've talked about this many times. We can stimulate one another, but we can't motivate anybody else. Motivation comes from within. We motivate, motivation comes from within me, my motivation. But you can stimulate that motivation. You can help that out. You can bring encouragement in ways that will help pull out that motivation in my life to step up and do more in the name of Jesus. To do more for those that I'm serving with, the family of God, to work together with the family of God. We need to stimulate each other, lift each other up, and help each other as we strive to be servants for Jesus Christ together. It is the church that is going to make the difference. It is the church that is going to do for God in the building the kingdom here on this earth. He is the one who's called us out to do that. He says, stimulate one another. He also says this, assemble with one another. Come together with one another. Come together to worship. We need time to worship together. We need time to come together and study the Word of God together. We need time to come together and listen to each other and hear each other and care for each other, because we learn the needs, as we'll be talking about in a few minutes, of each other. But he calls us to get together, to fellowship, to worship, to join our hearts together, to become one together. Folks, it's very difficult for the church to become one when we don't meet together. We have many in our church family that are not faithful. And we need them to be. And this is where we need to come out and stimulate them to come together, that they are missed, that they are needed. We are all needed. Every member of the body of Christ is needed for us to accomplish what God would have us to accomplish as a church. We need each other. We need to be together with each other. We need to worship together. We need to study the Word of God together. Do y'all realize what studying the Word of God does to our hearts as we study it together? It draws us together. It pours God's love out in a very real and powerful way that we all need. He says to stimulate one another, to assemble together, to encourage each other. We all need encouragement. Would y'all agree with that? Do you ever need some encouragement? Folks, I need some encouragement sometimes. I need someone to say, hey, it's okay. We need that encouragement. People are too discouraging today. We are in a world today where people are looking for the negatives and pointing out the negatives and always bringing up the negatives and not bringing up the positives and not being encouraging and not being uplifting. There are folks here that I love to get a phone call from. I see their name on the phone and it's like, oh, this is going to be good. You know people like that? And then there's sometimes that name pops up on the phone and I'm thinking, what now? What's going on now? You have those people in your life? They're all around us. We are so discouraging to people so often instead of lifting up and encouraging. We need to look for ways that are encouraging. We need to look for positives in people. We need to look for positives in our church family. We need to look for the positives and the good things that are done. We need to encourage one another. Turn with me over to the book of John chapter 13. Beginning in verse 31, we're going to talk about ministry. He says, therefore, when he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him immediately. Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Ministry. I want to ask you, how are you doing at meeting the needs of others? How are you doing at meeting the needs of others humbly and in the name of Jesus? As we meet needs, we do it in love. We don't do it for recognition. If we're doing it in the name of Jesus, we don't need a pat on the back for that. We don't need somebody to point out, hey, I saw what you did. Because we're doing it for Jesus. We're doing it for His honor and His glory. And that's what we long for, is for that to be seen. Now, he talks about love a lot in this scripture, and what we've got to understand is this. Love means action. Love means we're going to do something. Now, we've talked about this many times. Love means we're going to make an effort to help meet a need or to help someone with a hurt when they're hurting, when there are things that are going on. God took action with us. God took action with us when we were lost in our sin. The Bible says that God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that a great scripture? That is a powerful scripture. And it shows God's love is very real for us. He didn't wait on us to come to Him. He didn't wait on us to realize our need. He saw our need, and He went to the cross and provided for it through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus held nothing back. He gave His all for us. He showed His love. And we feel it and we see it every day. He is at work in our lives and in our hearts. Love means actions. It means meeting needs. There are needs all around us. We have a community full of needs. We live in a church that is full of needs. We live in a world that is full of needs. There are needs all around us in the things that are going on. And folks, here's a problem. Too many of us are looking for reasons and ways not to meet those needs, not to serve others. We start looking at what somebody deserves, or what they may be doing, or how they may be going about it. Folks, I'm thankful God didn't look at me and say, I'm going to wait on Him to get His life right, and then I'll offer my blood for Him. He offered His blood for me when I did not deserve it. I still don't deserve it. I never will deserve it. But I tell you this, I am thankful for it. I am thankful for the blood of Jesus and what He has done for me. He has laid down an example for us. Now, we'll talk about this later on too. It doesn't go along with what the world teaches. It doesn't go along with what the world says. But it makes a difference for the kingdom of God. It makes a difference in the name of Jesus Christ. And we need to serve for God's glory. Not personal glory or recognition. We need to give God the glory for what we do. Folks, too many times we want the glory. We want the praise. We want the recognition. We want the awards. We want everybody to notice, hey, look at what he did. Look at how great a man he is. When folks, we do it the way that God wants us to do it, they may not even remember our names. But they will remember the name of Jesus. And that's the most important name to remember. Steve can't save anybody. Steve can't heal anybody. Jesus can. And we need to serve and minister in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you, how are you doing in ministry? I'm not asking you how much are you doing. I'm asking how is your heart in ministry for Jesus Christ? Let's move to discipleship. Let's look over in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38. Mark writes, and he summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Discipleship. How are you doing at imitating Jesus Christ? How are you doing at looking like Jesus? I think every one of us can sit here and say, well, I can do better. I am falling short. I have work to do. Would y'all agree with me there? Are you leading others to be closer to Jesus? To live like Jesus? To look like Jesus? Folks, that comes down to being like Jesus in our lives. Being a disciple is being a Jesus follower. Following Jesus. Trying and striving to look as close to like Him as we can. Imitating Him in His words. Imitating Him in His actions. And the way He went about doing things. And Jesus is wonderful, isn't He? He's wonderful as we read about Him. He's wonderful as we look at who He is. As we hear His words. As we feel His love. But you know, sometimes it gets difficult looking like Jesus, doesn't it? Actually, most of the time it's pretty difficult. Because the closer we look like Jesus, the more the world's going to reject us. Now folks, this message right here is not one of the most popular messages preached, and that's why a lot of preachers don't preach it anymore. But it's one I believe is necessary if we're going to be disciples. He says we need to follow Jesus and we need to deny self. Step back and think about that just a second. Deny self and follow Jesus. Self is full of pride. Self seeks its own way. Self becomes frustrated and angry when people don't agree. Self does not accomplish God's will. And self does not share the love of Christ. When we become selfish and prideful in our lives, we are not living like Jesus. Jesus came to this earth, leaving the glory of heaven, to walk here on this earth for 33 years. And He did it without sin. And He did it with real purpose. His purpose was not to be honored as a man. His purpose was not to sit on a throne in a kingdom and have a crown put on His head where everybody honored Him for His political views. He came and lived 33 years and preached and taught the gospel and the love of Christ, the love of God. He gave of Himself freely to all that He came in contact with, no matter how rich, no matter how poor, no matter if they were a Jew or a Gentile. He loved all the people that He came in contact with. He cared about all the people, and He taught in that kind of way. And He came to lay down His life on the cross. He came to take nails in His hands and feet after He was brutally beaten. We look at the life of Jesus and we say, man, He lived a hard life. Especially that last little bit. People that loved Him weren't there for Him at the end. The crowds that called for Him weren't there for Him at the end. But yet He went to the cross because He loves you and because He loves me. Because He cares about who we are. But He doesn't just care about those of us in this room. He cares about all these folks in this community. And all these folks in Shelby County. And all these folks in Alabama. And all these folks in the United States, and all these people throughout the world, Jesus loves and He cares for, and He came with purpose to die so that we might have life. And after they placed Him in the grave, 3 days later He rose from that grave in victory. And folks, I believe He wants us to live in that victory. And the victory of knowing Him, but it takes denying ourselves and taking up your cross. He says, take up your cross. What that tells me is it's going to be a difficult thing. It's going to be harder than we think. It is something we cannot do in our own strength. It is something we can't do in our own wisdom. We need the power of God to be able to be the disciples for Christ that He has called us out to be. We have to surrender ourselves to Him, denying who we are, denying the desires and wants of our lives, and allowing God to step in and lead us so that we can be the men and women of God that He would have us to be. So that we could be a church that makes a difference. Do you want to be a church that makes a difference? Well, the amens were a lot fewer there. Deny himself. We sit there and say, well, I don't know what he might ask of me. No, you don't. And it's okay. Because he'll take care of it. He's in control. He's got this. Folks, we need to trust Him in this. People are going to stand up against you for standing for Christ. Look, they stood up against Him. If they stood up against Him, should we not expect them to stand up against us? It's what the Bible tells us. Many people are going to stand up against us. You know, it's sad to say, but too many times even Christians stand in the way and discourage other Christians from being faithful instead of encouraging and stimulating in the ways that we are called to do. The Bible tells us we are strangers and aliens in this world. We don't adjust to the world. We let God transform our minds and our lives for Him. How are you doing in discipleship? Let's talk about evangelism. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verses 1 through 4 says, "For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But after we had already suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God amid much opposition. For our exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by way of deceit. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts." How are you doing at telling others about what Jesus Christ has done for you? How are you at letting those around you hear from you about what Jesus is doing and how He is working? I want to ask you, are you faithfully sharing the gospel with those around you? One of the reasons that we're seeing fewer and fewer people come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior is because we got fewer and fewer people that are willing to stand up and share about what Jesus Christ has done. But we're called out to do it in the Bible. He says, go. Go into the world. Go and share the gospel. Go and let people hear from you about who Jesus is to you. Now, we've got to understand this. Before we can actually share it, and we see it with these men, you got to live it. You got to show people that there's a difference in your life. You got to show people by the way that you live that you're living for Jesus. See, we've got too many Christians that are going out and living like the world Monday through Saturday and then coming to church on Sunday and trying to look good and put on a good face. But we're not reaching anybody for Jesus because the world sees us Monday through Saturday. They see how faithful we are. They see if our lives are real or if they're not. They are watching and they see. They know our hearts. They know the attitude that we display. They know the way we go about doing things when we're trying to do something that's good. They see it and they know it. If the church is going to be a light for Jesus Christ, we've got to decide that we're going to follow Jesus, that we're going to take up our cross, that we're going to deny ourselves, and we're going to live for Jesus 100%. Are you all in? Are you all in for Jesus? That's a question that we each need to answer in our lives. If any of this that we're talking about this morning is going to be real, we've got to decide, am I going to be all in for Jesus? Or am I just going to give Him 50%? Am I going to give Him 75%? Am I going to give Him 10%? What am I going to give to Jesus in my life? Is He everything to me? Or is He just a small piece? I'm asking you this morning to go all in for Jesus. Live for Him. And then once you're living it in front of this community around us, tell them about it. Speak it. Speak about Jesus. Tell people the gospel. They may not want to hear it. They may not accept it. But sometimes we're there to plant a seed. Sometimes we're there to water a seed that's already been planted. And sometimes we get to reap the harvest of what's been planted already. But we need to speak about Jesus. We are called out to do it. Folks, if we don't tell our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, the people that we are around, if we don't let these folks hear about Jesus from us, they're not going to hear it. They're not picking up their Bibles. And they're not going coming up, you know, I mean, if they're coming up to you and asking you this, let me know, because they're certainly not coming up to me and asking me how they can get to heaven. Sometimes you get to share it and people open up their hearts and they accept the love of Jesus. We got to live it, we got to speak it, and we got to please God. There are too many times we're worried about pleasing men. We're worried about pleasing people around us. We're called out to please God. What did he say here in 2 Thessalonians? I'm going to please God. You may not like what I'm saying, but I got to say it. You may not want to hear what I'm saying, but I got to say it. You do to me what you need to do to me, but I got to say it. I got to tell you about the love of Jesus. I got to tell you what He's done for me, and I got to tell you what He'll do for you. Folks, I want to ask you this morning, are you more worried about what men think than God thinks? Are you more concerned about what the world around you thinks than what God thinks? If so, there's a problem. God can help you with that problem. God can help you with that problem. Deny self and allow God to step in so that you can please Him and allow Him to be all that He longs to be in you. Let's turn our attention to this last point today, which is worship. Worship. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. How are you doing in worship? How are you doing in your worship time? Now, folks, if this is all the worship time that you have throughout a week, your worship's not going real well. Because every day, all day, should turn into a worship service. You should get up in the morning with a song in your heart and carry that song all day long. A praise to God. He is good. Even in the most difficult times, God is present, God is good, and God is at work. How are you doing in your worship? Are you here to worship God? Or are you here for personal entertainment or some other reason? He tells us this in this scripture. Present your bodies. Present your bodies as what? As a living sacrifice. As we come together to worship, he says this is our spiritual time of worship together. Our spiritual service of worship. We come to this time together and we worship. As you worship in your individual time, as you worship each day, we're acknowledging God for who He is. We're acknowledging God and worshiping Him for who He is and all that He's done. That He is the King of Kings, that He is the Lord of Lords, that He is God Almighty, that He is the Creator of this universe, and that He does deserve our praise. We present our bodies before Him. We lay our lives down as a sacrifice to Him. And we worship. And folks, do you realize that people notice? People notice when you worship, when you have a praise for God. I know people notice when I walk down the hall singing or whistling. People notice when I've got a smile on my face or when I'm down. People notice that about you? Do you notice that about others? He's called us out to worship, to present our lives to Him. Now to do that, we must prepare our hearts. We prepare our hearts to worship in the ways that the Bible teaches us to, so that we can truly worship in spirit and in truth. Which means we allow the Holy Spirit to go to work, and we listen to what the Holy Spirit is leading in our lives. And we confess sin in our lives. We don't hold on to it, and we don't try to hide it. We empty our closet out, and we lay it all out before God and say, this is what it is. And it's hindering my worship from you. And today I'm confessing. I'm repenting of it. And I need your help cleaning it out so I don't go back to it again. So that my life can be a worship service of God. Folks, isn't that a wonderful way to go about life and worship for God? For the one who's given you life, who's given you hope, who has given you all things. And God is so good, and He deserves the worship in our lives, and we need to worship Him. And for this last thing, we're going to step back into the scripture that we began with this morning. We need to give freely. Y'all realize that giving in our tithes and offerings is worship. It's a part of worship. As we come before God, we have the opportunity to give to Him. We started with a woman who gave two mites, two coins, amounting to about a penny. And we think, that's not much. It's not much to you. But it was to this woman. This is what she had to eat on. This is what she had to pay her bills with. This is what she had to buy her clothes with. It wasn't much, but it was what she had. And what did she do? She opened up her heart to God and she said, I'm going to give all that I have. When we were in Brazil, and these young men are going to share some things about some of this in a couple of weeks when we get our stuff together and we're sharing with the church about what went on there. But we went to a church and these young men were... And it impressed me about them. One of their favorite parts was worshiping in the church with no walls. Now, I'm going to tell you, it was hot in Brazil. It was hot. One lady looked at me and said, I have never seen somebody sweat through their shirt so fast. These guys would make fun of me about what shape was left without the sweat in the middle of my chest until it closed in. It was hot. And we went to this church that all it had was poles holding up a roof. And we worshiped. We worshiped God. There was no air conditioning. There were no padded seats to sit in. There weren't backs to the seat. In the middle of the week, we came together and we worshiped. Folks, we've missed it here. We're spoiled. We think we've got to have all this stuff to be able to worship. And here we worship in a church with no walls. No comfortable seats to sit in. Let's go a little bit further in the week. We went to another village. They had never allowed Christians to come into their village before. They allowed us. We got to go in and share the gospel. I got to preach there. I preached outside. Not only were there no walls, there was no roof. And guess what? People got saved. And it wasn't because of a building. And it wasn't because of the way we looked. I told the guys, I said, y'all tell me when my shirt is, when I've sweated all the way through my shirt, I'll know it's time to quit. I preached in a long sleeve t-shirt and jeans. And people got saved. Folks, praise be to God. We got to learn how to give. We got to learn what's important. People are important. They're souls. There are people all around us dying and going to hell. And we're caught up in what the temperature is. And if somebody got my seat, and all this other sort of stuff. And while we're all concerned about that, there are people dying and going to hell every day. Here was a woman who had nothing and gave it all. Gave it all for Jesus. Gave it all to God because she had a love in her heart for Him. What's it going to take in our lives and in our hearts? See, in all these things that we're talking about this morning, I'm not talking about the doing of things which this all will come to. I'm talking about the heart. Our hearts. The heart of every Christian in this room. The heart of this church family. What is important to us? And it needs to come back to Jesus. In worship, in fellowship, in evangelism, in ministry, in everything. It comes back to this morning, I want to ask you, where are you in this spiritual checkup? What is the great physician, talking about Jesus Christ, saying to you today? What needs to change about your diet? What needs to change about your exercise? What needs to change about your heart? So I invite you to come to this altar this morning. Let's lay it all before Him. Let's be honest with God about the areas we fall short in. And let's be honest, every person in this room is falling short somewhere. Your pastor included. We got work to do. We got work to do. We need to look more like Jesus. Every day. There may be someone here today who's never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Folks, it's Jesus I'm talking about. He died for you, just like He did for me. He has changed my life. He has given me a purpose to live. He is the reason I stand here and preach today. He loves you. He cares about you. He longs to be in your life and in your heart. Today I invite you to invite Jesus. Confess your sin before Him and allow Him to make a change in your life that you'll never regret. He loves you today. You love Him? Are you listening? Let's pray. Father, we come before You right now and we thank You for loving us the way that You do. We thank you for going to the cross for our sin. We thank you for rising from the grave and the victory that we have in knowing you and serving you. And Father, today, as you speak to us continually now, help us to listen. Father, your Spirit speaks to our hearts. Help us not to sit still. Help us not to worry about what somebody else is doing, and help us not to be concerned about what time it is. Help us in our hearts and in our lives to find a new excitement in being obedient to you, in denying ourselves for you, in taking up our cross for you, and allowing you to accomplish your will and purpose in each one of our lives and in this church family. Father, if there are those here today who do not know you, we lift them to you today, that this would be a day of salvation. Father, this is your time. This is your service. Let your will be done in your name.